me speak to us very briefly before we bring this service to a close. And that will be the inauguration and the inaugural sermon, you know, of the Stone Church, Iyaganku. Ladies and gentlemen, open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 11. I'll read a verse, and later on I will read from Genesis chapter 12. Matthew 11, verse 28. One verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come unto me and rest. Say to your neighbor, come unto him and rest. Now I have critical questions, because sometimes I want to ask questions that possibly you don't want to ask yourself. Or sometimes you have such questions in your heart, but you don't want to actually answer the question. So I help ask those questions. You know, because we need to get points in our lives where you need to face some critical questions about your life and about your destiny with a view to getting to do the purpose and the counsel of God for your life. Not only that, I ask questions about life, because I don't know whether you wonder and ask yourself, why am I here? And ask yourself, how much time did I have on this lease? Or sometimes you think that you have the life to live forever. You don't have life to live forever. You know, sometimes you think that you are here to have a permanent abode. No, you're wrong. You are not going to have that. You know, and that's why it's critical that you sit down sometimes and ask yourself, what is it about life? And ask yourself about, what is it about my life? So you ask the questions about life, and you ask questions about your own life. In other words, this life and your existence within the life, you become a fool when you don't ask the questions. I get particularly asking those questions because of the man the Bible called the rich fool in the scriptures. I don't know that a man can be rich and yet be called a fool. And so sometimes, therefore, it is not about the fact that you are rich that make you a wise man. You know, sometimes you give seat to the big people and so-called wise men, you know, in front, you know, and then we celebrate them in a special way. But you can see from the scripture that the fact that you're rich, not necessarily that you're wise. And so I ask people, and I get people to ask themselves about the critical question about life. Because this guy suddenly became rich. You know, and he said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. He was asking as though he was the landlord of the whole universe. He was asking as though he was the one that was going to control the whole universe. And you know, sometimes when you think in a certain way, God can pull your skirts and say, look, I'm still here, be careful. And so that you can be careful, you need to ask yourself questions about life. The first question you need to ask yourself tonight, this morning, and say, what is it about my life? Hello, somebody. You need to ask yourself, what is it about my life? No, because sometimes we misappropriate the real reason for life and living. You know, sometimes we make mistakes about the reason why you are here. One of the ways we categorize life is to say, my life is about the money that I make. And so we run helter skelter and want to make more money in life, because you think the life that I live is about the money that I make in life. You're wrong. Sometimes you evaluate your life, or you equate your life, or you equal your life, you know, by the level of the businesses you have, by the level of opportunities you have. That man had the same thing that God said to him tonight. He said tonight. And that is why you need to say, what is it about my life? You know, sometimes you think your life is about the profession that you carry. And that's why we go, we amass titles, we amass all kind of certificate, you know, like the man the Bible calls, you know, the wise in the Bible, Ecclesiastes. He said he amassed everything. He attained to everything. He got more certificates. He got more recognition. He got, you know, more books written about him. And he has books even written for him. You know, but the Bible says at the end of the day, he still found out that I'm void, I'm empty, I'm nobody. He still found out that I'm amounting to nothing. Is it found out that there's a vacuum in my life? Is it found out that despite the connection, despite the people, despite the money, despite the academics, there's still something about life that I haven't known?
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to sit and say, what is it about my life? You know, sometimes you think your life again is about the challenges that you have. And that's why you have people run helter skelter. They go from mountaintop to valley because they think, if I can get this problem solved, then my life is made. I know sometimes you get the problem solved and find out your life is not yet made. And that's why you still need to answer the question. Therefore, what is it about my life? Life is vanity upon vanity. Our lives itself is like a vapor. Vapor we see in the morning and then the night is gone. The Bible again calls your life like a flower. You see that it blossoms in the morning and in the night is faded. And that's why we must be able to decimate your life properly. So that having gotten whole, just find out that you don't understand life. And I'm able to say, a lot of people living life actually don't understand life. Because that man understood life, he will not say that I'm going to put down my barn, I'm going to sell my car, I'm going to buy the latest Benz, I'm going to get house, not, you know, in Ikoyi, I'm going to get a house in Banana Republic. Because he thought his life will be equated, you know, to the values that he has. He thought his life will be equated to the way people will call him, you know, and the accolades of men. I'm going to help you to answer the question of life very soon. But you need to answer or ask yourself and say, what is it about life? Number two, the question you need to ask yourself, what defines my life? The first question is either, what about life? What about my life? The second question you need to answer this morning is, what is it that defines my life? What is the signboard of my life? How do people see me and call life? And this is the critical aspect of living, actually. What defines your life? That's what defines where you go to. Therefore, what defines the people you make friends with. That's what defines, you know, the people you relate with in life. Let me tell you some of the things that define people's life. Sickness and disease can define people's life. The sickness that you are battling with, the challenges that you are battling with, there are some of the things that can define your life. You know, the Bible talks about a woman in the scripture. It said the woman with the issue of blood. You know, the issue of blood actually defined his life. Up to now, I don't know, probably when we get to heaven, that's when we know whether the woman is Sister Mary or Sister Janet or Sister Kudi or Sister. Because you don't understand what I'm talking about. It's not necessarily because in the Bible that the woman was a Christian. But sickness was the signboard. In the area she lived, amongst the people she lived there with, you know, she had a name. But over the years, because of the problem, the sickness has become the signpost. That's what was defining our life and our direction. And somebody says, remind me her name. You know, don't bother. Is it the woman with the issue of blood? Number two thing that defines our life sometimes are the pains of life. The challenges of life. The first thing that defines our life I mentioned is sickness and disease. You have a big case note, you know, in one hospital. You have two or three doctors because one can fail. You need to call on the other one. And the second thing is pain. Hannah was defined, you know, by the fact that her womb was closed. It was a pain to her. The Bible says she would go to Shiloh, you know, every year because of the pain, because of the challenge. She wanted a child of her own. Penina, the second wife, we love her to scorn. We say to her, you are barren, you cannot bear. You know, Penina had, children, but this woman did not have. And so that pain actually defined her life. Defined her life to the extent that the husband was going to look for things to replace, you know, children. You know, in our life. And say, if it's a child that is the problem, don't worry, I buy you a new car. So if you had a new car, you forget about, you know, a child. And so, okay, I'm going to, you know, rebuild you a new house. And so if you got a new house, possibly you'll not be bothered again, you know, about a child. The pain was defining our life. What is it that is defining your life? God will take it away this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Number three that defines our life sometimes is stagnancy. You've been on the same spot for years. You've been on the same spot without moving. You made a lot of effort. You want to move forward, but you have forces bringing you back. You have things, you know, putting you on the same spot. It can be fear, I don't know. It can be doubt, I don't know. It can be whatever, I don't know. But one of the things that define our lives sometimes is stagnancy. The Bible talks about a whole nation. They were supposed to take a trip in 40 days, but they couldn't. A whole nation, not a single person, a group of people. They could not move forward. They were just moving around the same spot. Today, God will break and you move forward in the name of Jesus. That's one of the things that define our lives. That's one of the things that has tendency to define your life. Stagnancy. Rooted on the same spot. But God will break that this morning. And you have a new song in the name of Jesus. Not only that, you have some other factors of life, you know, that put us on the same, you know, spot. You have things that define our lives. One of the things, again, that define our lives are ancestral, you know, and family, you know, issues, challenges. The way it happens in our family is this. The way it goes in our family is this. And before you know it, you don't think of any other way, but you think about your family, the causes of the family, the challenges of the family, and that has defined your life. In my own family, you know, we don't get married until we are 30. I've had somebody come to me and say, Pastor, all my siblings are not married. There's one that is 33, there's one that is 34. And so I'm afraid the same thing is going to happen to me. Oh, sister, I said, you don't belong to that family. But the fact that you have Jesus, you have a new family. That can define and that can limit your life. It can limit your destiny. You know, because you think the way your family thinks. You see the way your family thinks. You know, you dream the way your family dreams. And so you are rooted on the same spot. I was talking to somebody. I said, give your life to Jesus. I said, in our family, we have Muslim. I said, what concerns me about your family is a Muslim? I'm talking to you. Hallelujah, somebody. Are we going to chop that one? Your family is a Muslim. So what? You're talking about you. That's one of the ways the devil cut us short. We relate things happening to us with things happening in our family. It is you. It is your destiny. It is your purpose. Some have remained with purpose unfulfilled for years because they think my family will. My people shall. My people will. And you're on the same spot. You know what the Bible is saying to you? Jesus is saying this morning. He said, come unto me. All ye that labor, he said, I will give you rest. Let me tell you something about the person that spoke and what he meant. Number one thing, when he said, come, and I'm going to give you rest, it's a call to a new life. It's a call to a new purpose. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. He knows that you are going to trouble. He knows that certain things have defined your life. He knows that you are going through to some certain trouble. You know what he's saying to you? He said, lead the trouble. You come to me. I'm going to take care of the trouble. You know what we do most of the times that you want to take care of the trouble yourself? Somebody said, I will come to Christ when I stop sinning. I said, how are you going to stop sinning? You need to come to him first. With the sin, with the challenges, you come. He has the ability to take your sin, your challenges, you know, over. That's why he died, ladies and gentlemen. So he said, come. He said, come into a new life. Come. Again, he said, come and rest. Some of our lives are full of labor and toil. We have people that have repeated failure on the same spot for years. You don't know how to move forward. You've done everything you can do in your life. Yet, you are not moving forward. And I say, somebody say, come. He said, I'm going to give you rest. I want to take the rest. I want to move away from toiling. I want to move away from nightmares. I want to move away from bad dreams. And somebody say, come, sit and rest. If I were you, I want to enter into that deal. I want to enter into that deal. You've done so much, but you've reaped so little. You labor so much, you have nothing to show for it. Oh, somebody say, but I'm a Christian. I'm not talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about what Jesus is saying. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a pagan, whether you're a babalawo, somebody is saying, come. He did not define it. He did not say, my friends, come. He said, all ye that labor. He said, come. And I'm going to do what? I'm going to give rest for your soul. I'm going to take away your pain. I'm going to take away that which is your travail, your nightmare. I'm going to give you rest. There's anybody here this morning, you need rest. You don't need to go to a mountain. You're not going to burn candles. You're not going to see a special prophet. Some of us have been deceived. You've seen prophets. You are the prophet that determines your life. They tell you. You know, somebody was telling me. I've seen him here. I said, are you going coming to that barrier? He said, no. He said, sir, I will not come to that barrier. Moniki lode ni lure. You know, he said, a prophet just walked to me. Ma binu omo mi ongbon ti mo so you. When a prophet just come to me, he said, I must not go to where they are doing burial for the next 3 months. Moni okay, ya doku re. Sibi oba wa komo je pe ngbo oba wa nsin yi egun re okan wa ni prophet lo soro all those bladder dash stupidity nonsensical belief and level of living. How can a prophet be telling a born again omo Jesus? A prophet is telling you where to go and where not to go. So very soon the prophet will tell you, don't go and sleep with your wife. Oh, when you come to Jesus, you are free from fake prophetic utterances. The one that brings fear into your life. The ones that bring turmoil into your life. Some of you are being ruled by such prophets. Even though you still come to church. When we are done here in church, Prophet Isaiah, one she adwa ojo meji. Orioke eh gbamila ebun lanbe ibe mo lo ba get also fun pastor yinka mi oni le wa prayer meeting. I have a special place because oh to so epo lori oke be o mo nlo, and that has reduced and limited your purpose. You are in trouble and you are using trouble to solve trouble. You are in problem and you are creating problem to solve problem. They take away bad dream from you, but they will leave some nightmare in your life. You know why? So that you can always go back to them. But Jesus is saying a very simple statement. Come. You know why you are not coming? Because come is so simple. That's why people are not coming. If he says, fold your leg and jump, more people will do that. But come, it's not costing you money. Come, it's just costing you obedience. Let me round up. When Jesus says, come, no matter the position you are in life, come is going to make you better. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12, and I round up there. Because you see, in this our assembly, we want to be finishing service at 11:30. Church is tuntuni. I got a man dying at Duopo. I get it. Yes, Holy Spirit. That's common sense, isn't it? I must work by common. It's only it's common sense. It's a bad church. It's tuntuni. And they that go meji. Ojo kan lori yama. Hallelujah. Oh. Now the Lord has said, Genesis chapter 12. And I want you to follow this. Because that's where I round up. He says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham. Did you get that? If you got some level of understanding of English, even if you had F9, you understand this. The Lord had said, God is not saying, God has spoken before. Did you get that? That's English. It is in the past. God had said to Abraham before, but Abraham did not listen. Oh, possibly, like I said, I thought I would have started pastoring at 50. God had said, or have determined, but I never did it. God has spoken to Abraham, and a very simple command, like, come. He said, get out. That's what God told Abraham. He said, get out. He said, go, I'm going to show you a new land that you are going to. But he did not go. You know why? Because Abraham had crutches. Like all of us, you have crutches. Your comfort zone might be your crutches. That's why you are not coming to Jesus. You know, some of us, what will my friend say? That's why you are not coming to Jesus. You know, if I say I'm not born again, they'd be smiling at me. All bad alone. Because until you smile, I see what most smile see. All of my dear born do I see hell. And they say, why? Some will say, there are certain things I will no longer be able to do. You come to Christ first. Crutches did not make Abraham to listen. When Abraham did not listen, I didn't say it's God that killed his father, but his father died. You know, sometimes the good people around you are actually the obstacles to your blessing. Sometimes the good things surrounding you are actually the limitation, you know, to the next level of God in your life. You don't get it. Let me say to you, sometimes you need to go through some pain, you know, so that you can get the purpose of God done in your life. You know, sometimes some people must have to leave you so that you can look the other direction. You fixated so much on human being. You fixated so much on money. You fixated so much on connection. You fixated so much on people. God will take the connection. He will cut the human being. He will take away the money. You will lose the business. And when you are alone, he said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. He will get you to look unto the hills. When God is calling you, God is not calling you to shame. I'm a testimony to that fact. When God is calling you, God is not calling you to a lower standard. You know, that's why we are afraid sometimes. I say, and I become an issue. I'll not be dressing fine. I will be much a dress now. As you need me now. I will be much a look good me. As you then need me. Some say I will not get a good job. Who says? You will have a better job. You have a better life. The call of Jesus is a call to higher life. The call of Jesus is a call to a better life. The call of Jesus is a call to a better purpose. You follow me. He said, and Abraham, now that his father died, listen, see the call. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. He said, when you come out and you follow me to a place I'm going to show you, he said, I will make of thee a great person. Did you see the Bible? You are not seeing the Bible. He said, I will make of thee, not a great person. I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Listen, you don't get that. When God is speaking to you, God is not speaking to you alone. God is speaking to your generation. You don't get it. When you refuse to listen, when you refuse to come, you are not only undoing yourself, you're undoing your children. You're undoing your children's children. You know, because sometimes, because of our selfish nation reasons, that's why we are not coming. But you're undoing generations. It says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Number one. Say to your neighbor, number one. It says, I'm going to bless you. Say to your neighbor, number two. Those are the blessings of Komo. Just come. Show the blessing, come. Oh, lagi. Or get your lori, okay. Just say, come. When you obey, come, he's going to make a great nation out of you. When you obey, come, he's going to bless you. Number three, the one you are running after. That people are buying titles. Again, you see people that cannot speak English, they become PhD. And then, very good university giving them PhD. Again, PhD. And you have these people getting PhD. You know what they are trying to do? They are trying to make their name great. But see what here? Jesus says, if you come, I'm going to make your name great. This great, the professor is not whether you go to school or you don't go to school. He said, when you come, haven't you seen Purutu that God has lifted? And they are employing PAD, PAD, EED. Burut, come on, kaka. But you pay one, see, board meeting. One, to come down. Toba so in Boju Gan, you wa 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 Chairman, your balleta renta. The Bible says, when you come, I will make of you great name. Let me round up because of time. Lastly, you know what he say? And I like this. That is my target in life. That's where I'm going to. You know that a lot of us, we are so obsessed about God blessing us. You know, when you're running after God bless me, God bless me. You know where God is taking you to? You'll be blessed and you'll be a blessing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what the Bible is saying here. It says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Not your friend, not in your place of job. You will be a blessing to nations. You know all that you need to do. Come. It's so simple that it's difficult for you to obey. Come. And that's why I'm going to round up this morning. I want to ask you to come. The beginning of greatness in life is a simple decision. 19th of April, 1987, 7 p.m., I took that decision. Even though I did not understand that it will land me where I am today, but I took the decision. God has never failed me yet. He's not planning to fail me, and he will never. You come. I said, but pastor, come. But pastor, come. But pastor, come with all your reasons. Fantastic reasons. You come. You come. When you come, you begin to see the change. You begin to see God take over your life. You've driven the car of your life so long that the car has been battered. The headlamp is broken. The jar is shaking. The AC is spoiled. God is now saying, hand over the steering. I'm going to make for you and in you a brand new car. Can I please close our eyes wherever we are seated? Outside, inside. I don't know the color of your skin. I don't know where you are from. I don't know your religion. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not speaking about religion this morning. I'm speaking about Jesus that says, come. A person that says, come. That's the person I'm speaking about. You want to give him a chance? The way to give him a chance is to accept him as your Lord and your Savior. The way you are, how bad you look, how good you think you look, does not matter. Just come. You want to come to Jesus? Please place your right hand over your chest. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And that's it. Your destiny will begin. Your purpose will begin. Your life will begin to happen. Place your right hand over your chest. You say, I come. Just say, I come. Wherever you're seated, outside, inside. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. I see some people there outside. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my sister. You've done it before, but you know that the life you are living is not in line with the fact that you come. Just place your right hand over your chest. When you come, you begin afresh with Jesus. If you are placing your right hand over your chest, I want to be sure. Just stick out the other hand wherever. I want to be sure. I can see some hands. I see some hands. Just stick out the other hand. It's very simple. Wherever you're seated, just stick out the other hand and say, I'm coming. I've come to Jesus. I've come to Jesus. If your hand is on your chest, stick out the other hand. Stick out your other hand. I want to pray with you. Stick out the other hand. I want to pray with you wherever you're seated. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my brother at the back. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. I did the same 19th of April, 1987, 7 p.m. I came to Jesus. I came to Jesus. If you did not come, your destiny will never begin. It's a wasted life if you did not come. Thank you, my brother outside. Thank you. I can see a sister there. You need to do it. You need to do it. That's what I did several years ago. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I can see many hands. I want people around them to just give them some papers. Just give them some papers. I can see hands. Stuck out. Raise it where there's nothing to be ashamed of. If you're ashamed of him, be ashamed of you too. Because I can't know when you're fair for Jesus. Baba fair if you phone, boss if you phone. Fire, rest up, or your da jumbo. Just raise it up, stick it out. Just stick it out. Nothing to be ashamed of. That's the way to live life. That's the way to live life. Now, if your hands are up, just say these prayers after me, wherever you are seated. Just say the prayers after me. And say, Heavenly Father, I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for me, and he rose for me on the third day. And so I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. I am born again and I have a new life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we please close our eyes? Thank you, Father. Fear not, for the Lord is with you. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. In nothing will you be ashamed. The Lord will rise as a man or warrior and will grant you success, light and direction, every aspect of your life. You return with testimony, and it shall be a week of joy. Help will come your way, even in hard places, and you will be remembered. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God say, amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord.